Shares of First Republic Bank plummeted as much as 50% on Monday, deepening recent losses as investors feared the $30 billion pumped into the troubled lender last week by several big U.S. banks might not be enough to keep it afloat. S&P Global downgraded First Republic deeper into junk status this week and said the recent cash infusion from the 11 large banks may not solve its liquidity problems. JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon is leading talks with the heads of other big banks about fresh efforts to stabilize First Republic.
What has happened is that the $30 billion injection is just an injection. It has not actually added any equity to the banking balance sheet.
A wave of withdrawals had hit the San Francisco-based lender after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank earlier this month. As fears persist, First Republic's shares have fallen more than 80% in the past 10 trading sessions. The New York Times reported late last week that First Republic is in talks to raise capital from other banks or private equity firms by issuing new shares and could also negotiate a deal to be sold. On Sunday, Reuters reported that First Republic was still trying to put together a capital raise, but that no deal was imminent.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. Things are not looking good for First Republic Bank, despite the fact that the bank has received bailout assistance of around $150 billion over the course of the last 10 days. The share price has continued to collapse, and the bank was recently downgraded by the ratings agency S&P. And as you saw at the start of the video, JP Morgan is now desperately trying to put together some form of deal that saves the bank from complete failure. So in today's video, we'll have a look at exactly what has been happening to the share price for First Republic. We'll have a look at the downgrade report that S&P have published. We'll go through the reasons as to why the market is so concerned about the First Republic situation. We'll have a look at what bailout facilities have been provided so far. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen to First Republic Bank over the course of the next week or so, because this is an absolutely critical situation. We're not talking about 3 to 6 to 9 months here. We are talking days that something may happen to this bank. This chart shows the movement in First Republic share price over the course of the last month. So if we start off by looking at the position on the 8th of March, which was the day that this banking crisis started, when Silvergate Bank announced that it was going into liquidation after a run on all of its assets, you can see that the share price for First Republic Bank was $115, which at that point gave the bank a market capitalization of around $21 billion. And just as an aside, because I'm talking about market capitalization a lot in these videos at the moment, market capitalization is basically how you value a company that's listed on the stock exchange. And it's a very simple calculation. You just take the number of shares in issuance and multiply it by the price, and that gives you the value. Because if you wanted to buy that bank, you'd have to buy all of the shares that have been issued, and you pay the current price. Now, if we move along this chart, you can see that on the 9th of March, the share price dropped from $115 to $96. And then on the 10th of March, which was the day that the shares were suspended in Silicon Valley Bank after a major drop in its share price on the 9th of March, the shares dropped further to just under $82. Now, over the course of that weekend, it was then announced that Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank had both collapsed. And on the Monday morning, on the 13th of March, the share price for First Republic Bank dropped to $31, which meant that the market capitalization at that point had dropped below $6 billion. So we saw $15 billion wiped off the value of this bank in the space of 5 days. On Friday, the 17th of March, it was announced that 11 US banks had collectively deposited $30 billion with First Republic Bank, and that those funds would be on deposit for a minimum period of 120 days. And this very unusual move was basically a backdoor bailout. These banks were showing their support. They gave the bank large amounts of cash to try to encourage the customers of First Republic not to keep withdrawing their funds and putting pressure on the bank's balance sheet. Now, in terms of the market's reaction to that move, it wasn't very positive. And you can see that the share price fell from $34 on Thursday the 16th of March to $23 on Friday the 17th. And this market reaction was partly as a result of the fact that these deposits were not equity injection, so it wasn't long-term capital that was being given to the bank. And also the fact that Moody's, the rating agency, issued a note downgrading First Republic. And if we look at what happened on Monday the 18th of March, it fell to $12.18, which represents a fall of almost 50% on the day. And the market capitalization of the bank is now $2.2 billion, which means that in the last 13 days, the value of First Republic has fallen by $19 billion, or around 90%. And the reason that this is causing so much concern amongst investors is that this situation is exactly what happened to Silicon Valley Bank and Credit Suisse. One of the factors in the fall of the share price for First Republic Bank has been the downgrades that it's received from the rating agencies. And the rating agencies are important for a couple of reasons. Firstly, they provide detailed analysis of what's happening within companies. And so a lot of investors look to these rating agencies for their analysis. But secondly, a lot of funds have rules and regulations about what they're allowed to invest into. And they will look to the ratings of certain shares. And when those ratings are downgraded, that often means that those funds will want to get out of that stock. They will have to sell out of their positions. And First Republic has recently been downgraded by both Moody's and S&P. On the 17th of March, Moody's downgraded the bank from B2 to Baa1 and stated that the shares remain under review for downgrade. Moody's rationale for the downgrade is that it reflects the deterioration in the bank's financial profile and the significant challenges First Republic Bank faces over the medium term in light of its increased reliance on short-term and higher-cost wholesale funding due to deposit outflows. On the 16th of March, the company announced that over the previous week, its borrowings from the Federal Reserve varied between $20 billion and $109 billion. And on the same day, the bank received $30 billion in deposits with an initial term of 120 days from a consortium of 11 of the largest US banks. Moody's believes that the high cost of these borrowings, combined with the high proportion of fixed rate assets at the bank, is likely to have a large negative impact on First Republic's core profitability in coming quarters. In addition, the rating agency noted that while news of the banking consortium's deposits is positive in the short run, the longer-term path for the bank back to sustained profitability remains uncertain. In addition to these factors, Moody's believes that with 68% of Q4 2022 deposits uninsured, that the bank has already experienced significant deposit loss, eroding the strength of the bank's franchise. Furthermore, given the relatively short-term nature of most of the bank's new funding, First Republic still faces the eventual need to sell assets to repay these obligations. This could lead to the crystallization of the unrealized losses on its AFS or HTM securities, which as at December 2022 represented 37.7% of its Common Equity Tier 1 capital. And its ability to sell residential mortgage loans, the other major assets on its balance sheet, without realizing losses that negatively affect capital, is constrained. Such a crystallization of losses, if it were to happen, would very materially weigh on the bank's profitability and capital. On the 19th of March, S&P Ratings downgraded First Republic Bank to B+, throwing it into junk status, and stated that the stock remains on credit watch negative. In terms of the rationale, S&P believes that the business faces substantial long-term challenges, stating that the deposit infusion from 11 US banks, the company's disclosure that borrowings from the Fed range between $20 billion and $109 billion, and borrowings from the Federal Home Loan Bank increased by $10 billion, and the suspension of its common stock dividend collectively leads S&P to the view that the bank was likely under high liquidity stress with substantial deposit outflows over the past week. As at March the 15th, First Republic reported a cash position of $34 billion, not including the $30 billion it will receive in deposits from the 11 banks. And S&P believes that this level of on-balance sheet cash and the inflow of deposits from other banks should give First Republic additional liquidity to fund further deposit outflows, which the company reported have slowed considerably, and helped the bank pay down a portion of its high-cost wholesale borrowings. Nonetheless, we do not view this deposit infusion, which has an initial maturity of 120 days, as a longer-term solution to the bank's funding issues. In addition, we think attracting meaningful deposits will be difficult, constraining the bank's business position. First Republic tapped higher-cost secured funding extensively over the last week, likely, in our view, to fund deposit outflows. And in S&P's view, First Republic's disclosure regarding the borrowings range is an indication that it likely drew on its available borrowing sources to fund significant deposit outflows, most likely from customers with balances over the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp insurance limit of $250,000. The bank reported borrowings from the Fed at an overnight rate of 4.75% from March the 10th to March the 15th, and at a rate of 5.09% for increased short-term borrowings from the FHLB. S&P's assessment of the March 16 public filing is that First Republic likely had significantly encumbered its balance sheet to obtain the Federal Reserve and FHLB borrowings, using up much of its financial flexibility and leading to the multi-bank deposit infusion announced on March the 16th. In S&P's view, the limited financial flexibility suggested by such a borrowing profile could make it difficult to fund additional loans with deposits, further hurting its business prospects. S&P believes that the continued use of secured borrowings will have a material negative impact on earnings and leaves First Republic's funding profile more sensitive to market risks. If the bank needs to maintain significant levels of secured borrowings at the current rates, S&P expects net interest income will decline substantially and impair profitability, as less than 20% of the bank's operating revenues have been from fee income. In addition, if market rates were to increase further, S&P expects the significant repricing mismatch between loans and short-term wholesale borrowings would lead to further earnings deterioration. In this scenario, the ability to build capital through earnings could be further impeded. One of the reasons there's such a high level of concern about First Republic Bank is because of the risk profile. And this chart plots the risk profile of First Republic, which is shown by the acronym FRC, along with a variety of other US banks. And this chart is looking at two key metrics. The left-hand side of the chart looks at the percentage of deposits from retail customers from 0 at the bottom to 80% at the top. And the reason that that's important is that the current bank runs are being driven by large corporates, because with the advent of electronic banking, you can move all of your capital in the space of seconds. And the scale at the bottom of this chart looks at the assets of the bank, so the loans and securities, as a percentage of deposits. And on this metric, a higher percentage is seen as being higher risk, because if you've got all of your customer deposits tied up in loans and bonds, that means that they are illiquid. It's difficult to be able to convert them to cash in order to pay out for people who are wanting to move their money away without making a loss on that sale. So in terms of the current bank crisis, the failure of Silicon Valley Bank was the starting point. And you can see SIVP, which is the acronym for Silicon Valley Bank, is located in the bottom right-hand corner of this chart. And as you can see, the percentage of retail deposits was less than 10%. So most of its customer deposits were from corporates. And the ratio of loans and securities to customer deposits was almost 110%. So that basically means that all of the customer deposits that Silicon Valley Bank had were tied up in longer-term assets. And that was really what led to the downfall of the bank, because when they had a run on their accounts and they had to generate cash to pay back all of their corporate customers, they had to start selling bonds in the market. Those bonds were out of the money because interest rates have risen rapidly over the course of the last 12 months. And so all of the money they'd invested over the last few years was in bonds with lower coupons. Those bonds were then trading below par. And Silicon Valley Bank announced to the market that it had booked a $1.8 billion loss on the sale of some of those assets. That caused mass panic and led to the failure of the bank. Now, if we look at the situation for First Republic Bank, you can see that the percentage of retail deposits is just under 40%. So that means that around 2/3 of all of the deposits are from corporate customers. And that raises the risk profile significantly, because once those corporates become concerned about the viability of the bank, they are able to move all of their assets really quickly to other banks. And that's essentially what's been happening to First Republic. They have seen an outflow of customer deposits. And if that continues, it puts further pressure on the cash situation. If we now look at the situation with regards to loans and securities as a percentage of deposits, you can see that First Republic's percentage is actually higher than Silicon Valley Bank's. It's just over 110%. So that means that all of the cash that First Republic has taken from its depositors are tied up in longer term assets. And that's one of the reasons why the market is so concerned about First Republic, because if there's a continued run on the bank and it has to keep funding all of these customer outflows, it needs to start selling these assets in the market. And those bonds are out of the money. Any bonds that you've invested into over the last few years are currently out of the money, because interest rates have risen so rapidly over the last 12 months. And if it's needing to sell its mortgage book, obviously that would be at a discount as well, because if you're a forced seller in the current market, you're not going to get a very good price. So when you look at the risk profile of First Republic, this is why everybody's so concerned, because it's got a high exposure to corporate clients who are very sensitive to what's going going on right now and maybe looking to move all of their funds immediately. And it's got all of its cash tied up in longer term assets. And if it's forced to sell those assets, it will start crystallizing losses on that portfolio. And this chart shows the percentage of uninsured deposits at the start of this crisis. You can see that Silicon Valley Bank had the highest percentage, 88% of all of its deposits were uninsured. And what that means is that 88% of all of the cash that Silicon Valley Bank was holding was in a deposit that was above $250,000, because that was the limit for the FDIC insurance. And you can see that second on this list, the bank with the second biggest exposure to uninsured deposits is First Republic Bank, and that 68% of all of the deposits were uninsured. So that means that over two-thirds of all the deposits that First Republic Bank has are higher than $250,000, and that increases the risk profile because, firstly, those customers can become spooked if they believe there's a problem with your bank, and therefore they're exposed because most of their cash is uninsured. And secondly, it's very easy to lose large amounts of cash very quickly if those corporates start instructing transfers away from the bank. This regulatory filing, posted by First Republic Bank on the 16th of March, details the bailouts that the bank has received so far. First Republic Bank received uninsured deposits totaling $30 billion on the 16th of March from Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bank of New York Mellon, PNC, State Street, Truist, and US Bank. The press release goes on to state that this support from America's largest banks reflects confidence in First Republic and its ability to continue to provide unwavering, exceptional service to its clients and communities. The filing goes on to state that from March the 10th to March the 15th, bank borrowings from the Federal Reserve varied from $20 billion to $109 billion at an overnight rate of 4.75%. Since the close of business on March the 9th, the bank has also increased its short-term borrowings from the Federal Home Loan Bank by $10 billion at a rate of 5.09%. So this filing shows that up to the 16th of March, the bank had received $149 billion in support from the Federal Reserve, the Federal Home Loan Bank, and 11 of the largest banks in the USA. Now, as you saw earlier in the video, that hasn't done anything to help the share price of First Republic. And it's likely that over the course of the last week or so, since this filing was submitted, that First Republic has had to seek more assistance. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an update on what's going on with regards to First Republic, because what's happening with the share price tells us that the market is very concerned about the situation right now. When you see a share price falling by around 90% in the course of 2 weeks, there are major warning signs flashing all over the place. And the reason that those warning signs are going off for First Republic right now is that we're at the start of a banking crisis. Over the course of the last few weeks, we have seen four major banks failing, three in the USA and one very large bank now in Europe. Credit Suisse has been acquired by UBS in an emergency bailout that was instructed by the Swiss authorities. And this represents a very similar situation to what we saw at the beginning of the global financial crisis in 2008. So investors are now looking around the market at which banks are potentially the next ones to fail. And First Republic is right at the top of that list. When you look at the metrics, all of the details that we've been through in this video, it tells you that First Republic looks similar to Silicon Valley Bank. It's got the same level of corporate customer exposure, and it's got a lot of its customer deposits tied up in longer term assets, more than 100%. So that means that First Republic either needs a complete bailout, or it will be forced to start selling those assets at a loss, which is exactly the situation that Silicon Valley Bank found itself in before it collapsed. Now, over the course of the last 2 weeks since this crisis started, First Republic has been doing all it can to try to shore up the situation. It's borrowed $119 billion and also received $30 billion in deposits from 11 other US banks. But that, unfortunately, hasn't solved the situation. We haven't got First Republic back onto a stable footing. And the fact that the share price has fallen by almost 90% tells you that everybody is bracing themselves for this bank to be the next to fail. Now, JP Morgan is reported to be currently trying to pull together some form of deal. However, it doesn't look like JP Morgan wants to step in and actually acquire First Republic, which interestingly is what they did back in 2008 with Bear Stearns. The very first warning sign of the global financial crisis was when the US investment bank Bear Stearns got itself into a very difficult situation. And JP Morgan came in and bought that bank for a bargain price in a very similar way to the UBS Credit Suisse deal that was announced earlier this week. But it doesn't look like JP Morgan wants to do that with First Republic because it possibly would have done it already. So that tells you that there are major problems within First Republic. Now, it's reported that JP Morgan is currently looking at a potential deal whereby First Republic could be carved up and split out amongst a number of different banks that they would all buy a portion each. But there are no details at all as to whether or not that's a viable option. The other option that is also being investigated by the First Republic board is whether or not private equity could come in and buy the business. But once again, that's going to prove very difficult because when you look at the fundamentals as to what's happening, it's a loss of confidence in First Republic Bank that's causing the problem. Customers of the bank are wanting to move their money away because they believe that it could be the next bank to fail. So just because a private equity firm comes in and buys it, that will not change the fundamental profile of the bank. So I think the overall assessment of today's video is that over the course of the last 2 weeks, we have seen this banking crisis getting worse. The collapse of Credit Suisse earlier this week was a big milestone. That tells us that there are serious problems in the world of finance right now. And the Swiss authorities swiftly stepped in and organised a bailout over the course of the weekend. They forced UBS to buy that bank because it would have had a major negative impact on the Swiss economy and probably the European economy and therefore the global economy. So they believe that they have saved a major crisis. However, it is very likely that we will see other banks failing over the course of the next few weeks. And First Republic is right at the top of everybody's list right now. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments on this and other related stories. If you've enjoyed what I've said today, if you thought it was interesting, informative and thought-provoking, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And as usual, here's the payoff to put a smile on your face.